Good morning. Today's daf in Kiddushin is daf Tes. If you're hearing a little bit of shofar in the background, that's just simply the sounds of Elul. Anyway, we are starting on the towards the middle of Ches Amud Beis, where we left off yesterday. We are in the sugyas of Kesef Kiddushin. A man can be Mekadesh a woman using Kesef. It could also be done with Shtar and Bia as well. But we have been focusing a lot on Kesef. Today we're going to go finish up the sugyas of Kiddushin Kesef, and then we're going to do a little bit of Kiddushin Shtar today. And we're going to do also a little bit of Kiddushei Bia. Today's daf test, we're going to be covering really all three. But back to Kiddushei Kesef. So the Kiddushei Kesef works like this. He says the Amira, he says, Harayam Mekudesh Asli B'Tabazu. And then he gives it to her, and good. And that's Kiddushei Kesef. It's really simple. An Amira, and he has to give it to her. And it has to be Midata. It has to be that she is a willing, she's a willing recipient. Remember, as we discussed, in terms of Kiddushei Kesef, it is a Kinyan. And as we pointed out, so who's the Kone? So he's acquiring her. So he's acquiring her. He's giving money. She is the Makne. She is transferring herself over to him. And so Kedusha Kesef obviously needs the willing participation of both parties. You give her the Kedusha Kesef, and what does she do? She takes it and she throws it on the ground. Okay, that is called rejection. Okay, meaning aside from the, you know, just a simple definition of the emotional rejection, but in other words, she's rejecting the Kiddushin. Okay, what if she takes it and throws it into the fire? That's also considered rejection as well. So this is what we covered yesterday. We went over both these points yesterday. So the Tana Rabbanan, we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. So we are in Ches Amud Beis, and we are two lines before the line start. We are two lines before the lines start getting wide. The Gemara goes over. Tana Rabbanan Kashli Bemana Tenem La Abba La Avicha. So, if the instructions are, you know what, give it to your father, give it to my father. So, Einim Kedesh is the Kedushin is not a good Kedushin. In other words, basically, she redirects the money. I don't want the money. Give it to somebody else. And even if she identifies a father to take the money, still, in other words, that's not her accepting the money. Amenashi Kablam Li Mekudeshes. So the Einim Mekudeshes. Amenashi Kablam Li Mekudeshes. So the let's say she says that they're going to be accepting it on my behalf. So then the kedushin is a good kedushin. So Tana Abba Lo Dicha Kocha Dereisha, Tana Avicha Lo Dicha Kocha Deseifa. Okay, and the Gemara just simply points out that, in other words, in the Reisha and the Seifa, the points are very straightforward. In other words, if she just basically says give the money elsewhere, and it doesn't matter who that someone else is, it could be my father, it could be your father. If she's just simply saying give it to somebody else, so then it's not going to be a kedushin. She didn't accept the kesef of kedushin. In the second part of the braisa where she says let them accept it on my behalf, so then of course the kedushin is good kedushin. And the chiddush is even if I'm identifying not my father but your father, it doesn't matter. Meaning my father pashut. Obviously, in other words, my father can accept on my behalf, but your father accepting on my behalf, that's a bit of a little bit more of a chiddush. The gemara says fine, that's a little bit more of a chiddush. He's kashuli b'mana. So tenem laploni in mekudeshes. Amenashi kamam li mekudeshes. Okay, the Gemara over here now goes over the second part of the Braisa, another part of the Braisa. All right, want to be Mekashi with Mana. And she says, give it to so-and-so. The Kedushin is not a good Kedushin. Amenashi kablim li. They should receive it on my behalf. So then it's going to be a good Kedushin. U tzricham. So the Gemara says that both of them are necessary. Diash min abba aveyavicha hasam hu dechi amra amenashi kablim li. Have a Kedushin. The samcha daita elayu. Savra avdanli shlichusai. In the case of dads, right? Notice how I said in the plural, because it doesn't matter whether she identifies her father or even his father. In other words, but you understand that the dad's role. Okay, I speak also not just as a third party reader of the Gemara. Right, I'm a professional father. I'm not sure if I'm good, but in other words, but I've been doing it for a while. So in other words, so dads operate on behalf of their kids. Aval ploni lo. But if I'm just simply identifying a third party, maybe not. That's why I need the second part of the braisa. V'yash minam ploni hacha hu dechi amar tanam laploni la v'kedusha dolo mekarva daita lagabe lemeis ve'le b'matana. Ava abba v'avicha de mekarva daita lagabai u'ema b'matana yehavtei ni halayhu tzricha. And if I only had the second part of the braisa where she redirects the money to a third party, just tam another person, so then that's clear rejection. But you could have made the argument that if she redirects the money towards a father, her father, his father, so maybe that creates kirov das, maybe that creates maybe she feels more connected to him. There is a hana that's generated from that. That hana generated from that could be understood as the Kesef Kedushin necessary in order to create the Kedushin. So all this is why the Braisa has to go over multiple cases. Seemingly, the Braisa is making more points than necessary. The Gemara says, Tzricha, no, it's all necessary. Okay, hopefully you're wondering to yourself, Rashi points this out, that we just went through a series of Braisas and Gemaras that tells us that when he's ready to give her the money, she redirects and she tells him, no, don't give it to me, give it to somebody else, so the Kedushin is not valid. That's what we just said today. Meanwhile, go back to, I don't know, yesterday. Go back to yesterday's Daf Dav Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara over there says that if she goes ahead and she tells him to give the money to so-and-so, the Kedushin is valid. It's no different than an Arev. So if you remember, we did this in yesterday's Gemara. This was on Zion, really Zion Amud Aleph. Anyway, so over there, even though she didn't actually receive the money, the Kedushin is valid. What's the difference between the two Gemaras? Rashi points this out. And Rashi says, you can see the Rashi, I'll read inside. So Rashi says, it is not the same as the Gemara that we saw on Dav Zayin. Why? So Rashi says the difference between the two Gemaras is initiation. Who initiated? Meaning, if she is giving instructions, hey, give the money to so-and-so, so therefore, then the Kedushin is valid. Why? Because then she operates as an Arev. In other words, an Arev goes ahead and directs, here, go lend money to so-and-so, and I will make myself liable. And the Hana that's generated, we discussed this when we did the Gemara just the other day, is that that because you're basically able to get the loan done, so in other words, that is a certain amount of Hana that's generated from that end, and the Kedushin works. So, but that's only when she initiates it. But Rashi writes, Aval Kan, so Mishati Hibo, Klamar Tein Ma'osech L'Acherim. Who's initiating over here? He is. In other words, he goes over to her. He makes a proposal. He makes a proposition. I'm going to give you money so we can do Kedushin. And she's like, nah, give the money to somebody else. Huh. So over there, over here, Rashi points out this case is obviously different. In other words, she is not initiating, creating the redirection of the money. In other words, she's just basically rejecting his proposition. So Rashi points out the two Gemaras are obviously different. It really is a function of who is initiating the transaction. Okay. Sorry, I lost my spot, and I am back. Tana Rabbanan. Okay, we're still on Chesam and Beis. We are 6-7 lines from the bottom of the Amud. He's Kashali Bamana Tanema Gabisela. Eina Mekudeshas V'yemaya Sela Shalom Mekudeshas. Okay. So he offers, proposition where he's going to be offering her the Kesef Kedushin. She says, you know what? Take the money and put it on a rock. So once again, that's rejection. But if the rock belongs to her, so then the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. Rashi writes over here, you know why? If the rock belongs to her, the rock operates as a chatzar. And we know, we saw this back in Gittin in the 8th parak extensively. So when you are, when you hand the get and when you put the get into her chatzar, so she's kona the get, so Rashi says it's the same thing over here. If the stone belongs to her and you're putting on the stone, so she accepts that's an acceptance of the Kesef Kedushin. That's Rashi's explanation over here. You could see the Baam Tosfos. We're not going to go through it inside. What Tosfos wholeheartedly rejects Rashi's interpretation of the Gemara. Tosfos favors a different interpretation of the Gemara. See Tosfos over here. We're not going to go through it together. I mean, Tosfos doesn't make your points, but in other words, Tosfos, with Tosfos's pshat, you don't have to go through any of that. Meaning, Tosfos thinks that this has nothing to do with Chatzar. Okay. So, by Rabibi, Seloshoshnei, Mao Tekum. Now, what if the stone belongs to the two of them? So, Tekum, the Gemara says, yeah, I don't know. One of the reasons why Tosfos rejects Rashi is because if the issue really is Chatzar, well, we do know the answer, meaning Chatzar Shoshneim is not going to be an area where one of the parties can be Kona. So that's one of the reasons why Tosfos rejects Rashi. Anyway, I said I wasn't going to go through the Tosfos, and meanwhile, I just went through some of it. Okay, great. He's Kashili Bekikar. Okay, so he goes over to her and he says, I want you to meet Mekashi with a loaf of bread. Remember, Kesef doesn't have to be Kesef. It can be Sheva Kesef. It has to be equivalency. In yesterday's daf, we went over whether or not it needs an appraisal or does need an appraisal. That was the Machlokas Rav Yosef Rabbah. Momentarily later today, we're going to come back to that Machlokas. But anyway, so he gives her a loaf of bread. How romantic. And he says, I want to be Mekashi with that loaf of bread. So Tanela Kelev. So she says, oh, you know what you could do with that bread? You can give it to the dog. Okay. So Eina Mekudeshet. So as you would probably guess correctly, that's a rejection. She's not accepting the Kesef Kedushin, to say the very least. V'ima Yakel V'shalam Mekudeshet. However, if the dog belonged to her, so then the Kedushin is a valid Kedushin. In other words, yes, I love it, but I'm not interested in the bread. Just give it to my dog. Okay. Sounds like the beginning of a beautiful marriage, but nevertheless, the point is that that is considered an acceptance of the Kesef Kedushin. By Rav Mari Kelev Ratzar Chura Ma'u. So let's say the following. It's almost humorous, but the dog is chasing her. And he's using now this opportunity to his advantage. Hey, how about this? How about what I do is I'm going to give you the loaf of bread. And as the dog is chasing her, so he's going to be handing over the loaf of bread, not to her, but rather to the dog. But here's what you can argue. And that is that she has hana. What's the hana that she has? The hana that she has is that she's being currently saved right now. And, you know, that's something that she would pay for. In other words, if her life were in jeopardy and she has to pay for being saved, so she would pay for it. O Dilma, Matzi Amrle Medaraisa Chiyuva Mechayevas Latzulin. Alternatively, what you can argue is that, yes, it's true she would pay for that service, but at the same time, he has to provide that service. It's called Hatzalas Nefashos, right? Saving somebody's life is a mitzvah of the Torah, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin, in the eighth parak. Yeah. So in the eighth parak over there, the Gemara spends a daf going over this idea that somebody's life is in jeopardy, so you have a mitzvah to save that individual. Okay.
It has a lot to do with the tone of voice.
Okay, right.
When you reject something,
Just wait, because we're going to... Your point is so good, and in just a couple minutes from now, we're going to go over the difference of one word in terms of whether or not that was rejection or acceptance. Okay, we'll get to that in just a moment. So the Gemara says, okay, so I'm going to leave this question unresolved. In other words, where the loaf of bread was used in order to save her life from the wild dog that's chasing her, and is that hana now comparable to the Kesef Kedushin? Gemara says maybe, maybe not. He's casually bekikar taneil la'ani in a mekudeshes. Okay, so he makes a proposition, hands her a delicious loaf of bread. I want to be mekashi with this loaf of bread. She says, give it to the poor. Okay, that's called rejection. Okay, that one's clear. Afilo ani asamachalam, and even if the ani is normally by her, which means that she's normally providing for the ani, and so therefore, by directing that the loaf goes to this ani that normally she feeds, maybe that is a form of acceptance. The Gemara says, no, it's not. My time, Amar like yech the mechayv nebe ana hachi mechayv nebe at. So not only is it rejection, but she's also giving him a little musr as well. Rejection and musr, meaning I'm not accepting your kesef kedushin. And no, by the way, you see how I do tzedakah? You also need to do tzedakah. So I give to the poor. You're also going to give to the poor as well. Okay. So in other words, but basically it's rejection. How will gavra dekam zavein chumre petichaita? There was a guy who was selling. Okay, let's call it a necklace. It's not a great translation. You could see Rashi over here. Rashi offers two explanations over here. Okay, for our purposes right now, I'm going to use the very scientific term of tchotchkes. Okay, so the guy is selling tchotchkes. Okay, actually, it's cute, by the way. Rashi over here goes over two French words, which I recognize. One is buttons, okay, and the other, right, that's in Rashi. And the other one is pearls, or at least I think it's pearls. I don't know.
Beads.
Okay, tchotchkes. Anyway, so the guy is selling tchotchkes. Asayi Yisus Amr Lei. We're in the very top of Tesemet Aleph. So Amra Lei Havli Chad Shucha. So she says, okay, I'd like one. Now the item in which she's requesting is going to be a Sheva Pruta. So let's take that out of the equation. Okay, so that's not what is the what we're litigating right now. What are we litigating? So Amra La I Avina Lach Mikadeshesli. So all of a sudden now he became interested in this customer, not just as a customer. But in other words, look, he was taken immediately, and he used the opportunity now in order to make a proposition. I'll give it to you, but as Kesef Kedushin. And her response is, Amr Lei Hava Mihava. Okay, so let's now translate this as precisely as we can. Okay, and again, my translation over here probably doesn't do justice, but she basically says to him, just give it to me. Okay, now, I also provided the right tone, or at least what I think is the right tone. And that is basically like, no. No, I'm not interested in marriage. I'm not interested in this as Kesef Kedushin. I came in as a customer. I'd like to leave as a customer. Okay, just give it to me. So hava mi hava, right? And you got to hear also the double language. Hava mi hava, which I'm translating is just give it to me. So Amrav Chama ko hava mi hava lav klomhu. So Rav Chama over here says it's nothing, meaning it is not an acceptance of Kesef Kedushin. It's basically her rejection, but at the same time, she still wants to buy it. Okay, so over here, right, like Rav Chaim pointed out just moments earlier, so over here, like we're really like, we are being precise in terms of interpreting her response and making that into a critical aspect of, was this acceptance or rejection? How Gavra, the Gemara is going to go over two other stories which are very similar. How Gavra Davi Kashase Chamra Bechanusa Asayisisa Amrale Havlichad Kasa. Man was, I was going to say in a bar, but that's not appropriate. But in other words, he was sitting somewhere to have a drink. And a woman comes over and she says, I like one. And he says, Amar la I avina lach mikadeshesli. Sure, I'll share with you. I'll give it to you. But in other words, on the basis that you accept this as Kesef Kedushin. So Amar la yashku yashkayan. And again, just give me a drink. In other words, again, we got to be really precise, but basically the double language of, I'm just interested in drinking. I'm not interested in anything more than just a drink. So Amrav Chamakol Ashkoy Ashkayin Lav Klomhu. And again, same conclusion. Rav Chama says that it is not an acceptance of the Kesef Kedushin. How Gavad Dahavakasha De Tamre Midikle. A person was knocking dates off of a tree. And Asay Aisus Amrle Shadili Tarte. And she asked not for one, but for two dates. Okay. In English, by the way, it's cute. In other words, you know, right? But she wants two dates, but she doesn't want. It's cute in English, anyway. But no, she doesn't want to date him. In other words, she literally wants two dates. So Amar la isha din alech mikudeshes li. So he says to her again. This is the third time now. Third type of these types of stories. So he says, "Sure, I'll give you the two dates, but on the understanding that this is going to be serving as the kesef kedushin, shava kesef." And let's assume, of course, that's worth a shava pruta. So Amar le shadi mishtai. And again, what does she say? Just throw me the dates. So again, Amar Razvid kol shadi mishtai lav klumhu. Okay, I don't know why Razvid over here is giving the response. Previously, the last two times it was Rav Chama. But regardless, the point is that her response is indicative of the fact that she is not interested in proposition and kiddushin. She's interested in dates and only dates. And previously, she was interested in a drink and only drink. And previously, she was interested only in the necklace and nothing more. So, Ibailu, Hav Ashke Vishade Mahu. So the Gemara says, okay, can we go back to all three of these stories and can we make one change, one subtle change in all three of these stories? And that is that in case number one, instead of saying Hava Mi Hava, she just simply says Hav. And in the second case, instead of saying Ashkoye Ashka, she just simply says Ashke. And in case number three, instead of saying Mishte Shade, she just simply says Shade. So over here now, it's not as emphatic, right? This is really subtle. It's not as emphatic. She just simply says, I'll drink. Or, right, let me go in correct order, right? Give me the bead, I'll drink, and throw me the date. So over here now, in that one word change, just by removing one word, and so now it's not as emphatic, so maybe that could be understood as acquiescence.
But it also seems to be more confirmatory.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Meaning exactly.
This is like confirming what you propose.
This is a real subtlety over here. So I'm Ravina Mekudeshes, Rav Samar Barakta, Amar Tagda Malkeinu Mekudeshes. So the Amorim debate this very point, in terms of how to understand now this very nuanced, an abbreviated response as to whether or not it's acquiescence or it's not. And the Amoraim debate. V'hilchasa. And so now the Gemara uses this opportunity to state the halacha, not on this issue, but on this issue and three other issues, four issues in total. Okay, so basically now what we're going to have over the next couple minutes is a great summary of a lot of the Gemaras that we have been doing. Number one, v'hilchasa eina mekudesha. So, number one, the halacha is eina mekudesha. So, In the scenario where he makes a proposition and her response is a very short, abbreviated, one word response of give it to me, as opposed to mi hava hava. She just simply says havu, give it to me. But still, that is not, in other words, her request was simply to have it, not marriage. And she just simply says, give it to me. That is not acquiescence to his proposition of marriage. That's number one. Number two, v'ilchasa shirai lo tzricha shuma. Halacha number two is that shirai, that when giving her, not money, but giving her a shava kesef, money equivalent, meaning an object, a commodity, so does it need appraisal? The answer is no, it does not. Meaning we go like Rabbi, not like Rav Yosef. Number three, v'ilchasa k'Rabbi Lazar. The halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. Quick refresher, what was Rav Elazar? So this goes back to yesterday's daf. Rav Elazar tells us that when he promises her a mana for kesef kiddushin, and instead of giving her a mana, he only gives her one dinar, and he's short 99, how are we to interpret that? Did the kiddushin occur, and the rest is just simply what he owes? Alternatively, the kesef kiddushin has not been completed until he gives her all 100. Rav Elazar says the former, not the latter. That the kesef kedushin, the kedushin has been created with that first dinar that he gave her, and the rest is just obviously a tanai that obviously needs to be fulfilled. But the kedushin goes back retroactively to when he gave her the first dinar. That was Rav Elazar's position. That's the halacha. And finally, number four, hilchasa k'Rav Amar Rav Nachman, and the halacha is like Rav Amar Rav Nachman. Recall, remember, this is also yesterday's daf, right? Where he says that I'm going to lend you money, lending her money. Is not going to be, it cannot be used for the kesef kedushin. However, what he does is that he gives her a mashkon. He gives her collateral. So what was the position of Rav Amar Rav Nachman? There is no kedushin. Even though he gave her a chov and a mashkon, did she actually get any money? The answer is no. So mana ain't kan, mashkon ain't kan. In other words, he didn't pay her yet. So in other words, she didn't receive actual money for satisfaction of the loan. And the mashkon, as we pointed out yesterday, is just simply a placeholder. In other words, that's not something that she's going to get to keep. That's just simply a placeholder for the money that she's going to receive. So mana inkan, mashkon inkan, and therefore the kedushin is not going to be a kedushin. Okay. So 4 points of halacha that the Gemara now has concluded. An interesting tosus over here. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Okay. Testament Aleph, the quote unquote the big tosus. It's not that big. But the second tosus on the Amud. So so we say that we don't need to appraise. So Rabbeinu Tam limits the Gemara's conclusion that you don't need to appraise items. Omer Rabbeinu Tam. You can find me in Tosos. You can find me in Tosfos about halfway through the Tosfos. V'omer Rabbeinu Tam da'asa la'ashmina da'davke shirayim hu da'lo tzricha shuma lefisha shumasam yadu k'tsas ve'in regilin la'tos bo kokach. So Rabbeinu Tam writes that when it comes to shirayim, that was the silk. So that doesn't require shuma, and that is the Gemara's conclusion. However, when we're talking about silk, so basically, you don't know exactly how much it is, but you have a ballpark figure. Okay? In other words, if it was... going back to an old television show. But if we were playing Price is Right, most people would get it about right. In other words, people pretty much know what it is. However, if it's a precious stone. Okay. The second time this week, I'm quoting Mishpacha magazine. great sourcing. So anyway, but the really fantastic article about the diamond industry in Antwerp. So the but diamonds is a great example of this point of Rabbeinu Tam, and that is what is its value, and it's really hit or miss. Meaning, in other words, aside from the fact that there is obviously fake. In other words, what was it, cubic zirconia? But anyway, but now what's become really popular is that they're making diamonds in the laboratory. And so, right, a big to-do in the world of diamonds. And so what is its value? And it's really like all over the place in terms of its value. Rabbeinu Tam says, even though the Gemara's conclusion is that shirayim don't need appraisal, but that's pretty much because we know more or less how much it is. But something where the range of how much its value is a wide range. Like, for example, a precious stone, Rabbeinu Tam writes. So therefore... that does need an appraisal. Lefichach, Tosus writes, Nago alam lekadosh betabah sheim bo evan. Minhag Yisrael, says Rabbi Natan, is that when you're mekadosh a woman, so you're going to be using a ring that does not have a stone. You'll use a ring that does not have a stone. In other words, it's got to be made up of simple metal. Okay, and that, of course, is a minhag. Right, not to be confused, by the way, because nowadays when we engage, so the minhag is to give her a ring with a stone, but that's engagement. That's, in other words, but we're talking about the ring that's used for Kedushin, so it's got to be made up of a simple metal. That's Rabbeinu Tam on today's daf. Okay, let's pick it up. Let's continue. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, so now we are past the world of Kesef Kedushin. I mean, we have spent some time over here on Kesef Kedushin. Right, lots and lots of pages of Gemara. Good. So the but now we're going to go back to Shtar. Tanu Rabbanan, Braisa B'Shtar Ketzad. So practically speaking, what does it look like? How are you Mekadesh B'Shtar? So Kasev Lal and Yara Lacheres Alfa Pishem Boshav Pritzos. You can write on a piece of paper or anything that you can write on, and it doesn't have to be a Sheva Pruta. And the reason why the Gemara says that, obviously, is because if it were Sheva Pruta, you could use it as Kesef. We're just highlighting the fact that it's not Kesef, and specifically it's a Shtar. So you write on it, Bitcha Mekudeshesli, Bitcha Muresesli, Bitcha Lili Insu. Your daughter is going to be my wife. In other words, obviously over here, we are dealing with a case in which he's negotiating with the father because he's marrying a Katana, or for that matter, a Nara. It could also be a Nara as well. And obviously then, she is under the jurisdiction of the father, and that's why he's dealing with the father. Hareza Mekudeshes, so that works. In other words, that's Kedushin. Okay, it's really simple. So Maskel Reb Zera Bar Mama Halo Dami Haishtara Lishtar Zvine. Okay, the Gemara over here now is going to make an unbelievable observation. You'll notice that this shtar does not operate like every other shtar. Okay, let's go over every other shtar. Okay, I'm going to be selling you an item. So who is now going to be writing up the shtar, handing the shtar over? The kone or the makne? The answer is the makne. Right, the person with the property who is now selling his property to somebody else, he's the makne. The person buying it is the kone. So the makne is the one who is writing the shtar, giving the shtar. Okay, so in other words, under almost every other circumstance, I think every other circumstance of shtaros, so it's the makne who's the one who is writing and giving. Over here in our kinyan of marriage, so who's buying whom? Okay, and I know my language is crass, but I just want to make the Gemara's point as clearly as possible. So the man is buying the woman. So over here, so he is now the kone. She's the makne. And he's writing the shtar. So the Gemara is just trying to wrap its head around, hey, you know, this is different than all other shtaros. How? How does that work? So over here, how does this work operate via shtar when meanwhile it doesn't behave like any other shtar? It's such a strong question. So Amar Rav Hasa Minyana Dekra V'Hacha Minyana Dekra. So the Gemara, which is such a strong question, is going to try on a number of different answers. Okay, because again, when sometimes you see this, when the question is an overpowering question, so you see that the Gemara like really is testing the water to see like what is the answer to this question. So one suggestion of the Gemara, this is Rav's suggestion, is that you have to look contextually in the Pesukim. Hasam k'siv umachar me'achuz aso. So umachar me'achuz aso, when you're selling property. So who's in the driver's seat? Obviously the seller. In other words, he's selling something that belongs to him. So tala rachmana, b'mochar tala rachmana. However, hacha k'siv ki kach b'bal tala rachmana. But over here, even though it's true that the husband is buying, but the way the Torah describes it is ki yikach. He is taking. So in other words, he's buying, but the Torah puts him in the driver's seat. Therefore, he is the one writing the shtar. Okay. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I'll show you a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Sadus bekesef yiknu. You are going to be buying a field. So over here, the Navi is describing the buyer as being, quote unquote, the operator, it being in the driver's seat. So if it's a question of looking at psukim, I don't know. I could show you a pasuk in Yirmiyahu. I just did. Where the buyer is the one who's quote unquote in the driver's seat. So Kari Bay Yikanu. Well, you know what we could do with that pasuk in Yirmiyahu, so we can give it different nekudos, meaning not that we're actually going to do that, but it could be read differently, and yikanu, and that's now from the perspective of the seller, not the buyer. So my time occurs by yikanu mishum dechsivu machar. Hachanami kari bay ki yikach dechsiv is bitzi natat elisha zeh. Now, in terms of my vowelization, I probably did a lousy job. But in other words, but if you're going to go ahead and switch nekudos because of other psukim, I could do the same thing in Kedushin as well. In other words, it's biti nasati lisha zeh. I gave my daughter. So in other words, because of that pasuk, so ki yikach could be vowelized differently. I don't know what the proper vowelization would sound like. But in other words, just because of one pasuk will not dictate how we're going to vocalize another pasuk. So Elam Rava. So the Gemara says, okay. So that was attempt number one, unsuccessful. Attempt number two, Elam Rava Hilchas Aninu Vasmechin Rabbanan Akrai. Okay, Hilchas Aninu. Salach LaMoshe MiSinai. Meaning your question's wonderful, and the answer is it just simply it is. When the Torah instructed how are properties supposed to be contracted? It's the seller who is contracting. In terms of marriage, how is that to be contracted? It's the buyer, i.e. the husband, who's going to be contracting. It just is. Okay, which obviously, in other words, in terms of giving us svara, there is no svara over here, but the Gemara's answer is it's a fundamental it is. Ibai se mahasam nami ksiva kachet sefer amikna. Alternatively, there as well, meaning even if I want to use, meaning the Gemara says, I'm going to go back to our first answer, and that is in Yana Dekra. Meaning, let's look textually, and even if the you're looking at that pasuk in Sefer Yirmiyahu, it does say, ve'ekachet sefer amikna, I'm going to take sefer amikna, I'm going to take the contract. In other words, the contract was written by the seller, and the buyer is taking the contract. So even in the pasuk in Yirmiyahu, you can read it into the psukim, the contract is generated by the seller, not the buyer. Okay. The Amar Rav Nachman. Okay. A little bit more for this morning. Cost of low al niar al chaos of a bishem boshever put a bitcha mekudeshesli, bitcha meresesli, bitcha li le insu, bena yide avia, bena yide atzma mekudeshes, mi daito, vuhu shalom bagra. Okay. So, you write it out on a paper like we described earlier. And right, in other words, that we already established in the Brisa. And the language we already discussed earlier in the Brisa as well. What Rav is adding over here is that you can hand it to her father, you can hand it to her, and the Kedushin is going to be a valid Kedushin. Mi daito, obviously you need his consent, meaning she's not a Bogeris, she's either a Katana or Nara, which puts her under the jurisdiction of the father. So in other words, obviously you need his consent, Vuhu Shlo Bagra. But in other words, but in terms of who you're handing the shtar to, doesn't matter whether you hand it to the father or hand it to her. Either way, it works. Kasavla ala niyar lecheres afa bishem boshever pruta harei mukdeshes liharei linti harei amresus limukdeshes bein aydei avia bein aydei itzma midaita vehu shabagra. Okay, and when do I need her consent? I need her consent when she's a bogeris, meaning once she's entered the third stage of development. 12 and a half years of age for most women. So at that point in time, in other words, she's no longer under the father's jurisdiction. She's now an independent. So therefore you have to be Mekadesh her, which means that I need her consent. Okay. Simple, straightforward. By Rav Shimon Malakish Shtar Erisin Shekasu Shalol Lishma Mahu. Okay. You write a Shtar Erisin, but you don't write Lishma. Okay. So we're going to go back to Gittin for just a little bit this morning. So in Gittin, we spent a lot of time. Right, that entire first sugya of Gittin is all generated by, or that's one. There are two opinions over there, but one of the two opinions is that it's all generated by the requirement that a get has to be written lishma. When you write the get, so you have to write your name and you have to write your wife's name, and you have to have her in mind. In other words, you cannot take a recycled get that happens to have the names of the husband and the wife. And you can't use it because that was not written lishma. It has to be written specifically for this man and for this woman. The Gemara wants to know, now we're on the other side of marriage. We're on the front end. Okay. And we want to know now, for the shtar erusin, is there a lishma requirement? Yes or no? Simple question. So, shalosh mamaw, avayiz l'tzit li yitzir makshin ala. So Ma Yitzia, we're on the top of the Amud Beis. Ma Yitzia bein l'shma, v'havayna bein l'shma. So on one hand, you could say that there is a hekesh. Havayin and Tzia are in the same psukim, and now we could say this week's parsha. So there is a hekesh, and because there's a hekesh, so just like by Yitzia, by get, there is a requirement to l'shma. Same thing is true with havaya when you're using a shtar. So that's one possibility. Dima havaya is la'adad makshin, ma havaya dekesel lo bein l'shma, havaya deshar lo bein l'shma. Okay. Alternatively, you could say the following. Maybe when it comes to Havaya, when it comes to Kedushin, there are three methods of how to be Mekadesh, Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. Right? This is now, we're in week two of discussing this very point. And maybe they are bundled together, meaning obviously you only need to do one of the three, but they're characteristically, they're all going to behave in a similar fashion. When you give a Kesef, does a Kesef have to be Lishma? And as Rashi writes over here, in other words, does a coin have to be minted with her in mind? Obviously the answer is no. Obviously. The kesef does not have to be lishma. And so maybe, if the kesef doesn't have to be lishma, and that's one way to be mekadesh, the same thing can be said regarding the shtar. The shtar also doesn't need to be written lishma. There has to be das, for sure.
Right.
But in other words, the lishma aspect of bia, it's almost like it's N-A.
That's the Makar Rabban Shmuel regarding
Mion,
remember?
Right, but they're just, meaning there is no lishma component to it. In other words, there needs to be das. Okay, anyway, it's a really good point.
The giving of the money has to be done
lishma. No, let's not confuse. No, in other words, no. I'm saying it emphatically because I really believe I'm right. In other words, it has to be midas. You need her consent. But that's not our discussion over here. Our discussion over here is that when you're doing it via shtar, does the shtar have to be written lishma? She has to willingly accept the shtar. That's absolute. But in other words, but when you're writing the shtar, is there a lishma requirement in writing it? By kesef, there just simply is no lishma. It's N-A. It's not applicable.
But if you think of a different woman when you give her the coin,
What does that mean? You're thinking of a different woman. You're handing her the coin.
You're handing her the coin. Yeah. You really think about somebody else.
It's not. It's just N-A. It's not applicable. There's no idea of lishma. In other words, you're handing her the coin, and she has to willingly accept it. I mean, you know.
She doesn't know what you're thinking.
Perfect. you're articulating. In other words, she does know what you're thinking. You're saying hare at mikudesh asli. And now, despite the fact that you're saying something, it's not.
That's the lishma.
No, it's just N-A. I really think I'm right. I always reserve the right to be wrong. But I think I'm right. I think it's not applicable. Yeah, and it's good. So you see, bein lishma, havai bein lishma. Oh, dilma havai la'adad demakshin, ma havai dekesel lo bein lishma, av havai deshar lo bein lishma. So basa debaya had the pasha havaya liyisya makshina and damakra viyatsavaisa. So the Gemara says the hekesh is going to win, right? By the way, every time the Gemara entertains the idea, what's better, the hekesh or something else? So I don't have the stats to support me right now, but like in other words, intuitively now I see, like I hear again and again, the hekesh is going to win. So over here the hekesh is winning, which means that when you are being mekadesh via shtar, so it has to be that the shtar has to be written lishma. Next thing that we're going to be entertaining this morning, and we'll do one more section. Itmar. Kasav lishma v'shalom midata rava ravina amar mekudesh rapav rashavi amar enu mekudesh. You wrote the get. Sorry. Edit. Right? You wrote the shtar erisin, and you wrote lishma. In other words, you had a particular girl in mind. It just happens to be right now. She doesn't know that she's going to be the future missus. Okay, but in other words, but you're confident. You're sure that your courtship is going to be successful. So you're writing up the shtar erusin, and you're doing and you got the lishma down. In other words, we just conclude you need lishma. She just didn't know at the time that she wrote it that she's going to be the future missus. You okay? Is that acceptable? When the shtar is written up, do you need her das when you're writing up the shtar? That's the Gemara's question. The Gemara has a debate on this very issue. Let me start again. Itmar kasa l'shma v'shalmei dat rav ravina amrei mekudeshes. It works. Rav Papa Rav Shavi amrei einu mekudeshes. It does not work. Amrei Rav Papa ema time didu ve'ema time didi. I can give svaris for both positions. Let's do so. Ema time didu dichsi v'yatzavaisa mekishavai liitzia ma'yitzia l'shma v'shalmei daita avavayinam l'shma v'shalmei daita. So on one hand, I can marshal the hekesh, which we just learned together. The hekesh tells us that we make a hekesh between havai and tzia. Now, when it comes to yitzia exiting, so you could divorce her shalomi daita. Again, a point that we've gone over again and again. Now, again, a reminder, cheirim de Rabbeinu Gershom. You can't divorce a woman against her will. But prior to Rabbeinu Gershom, Rabbeinu Gershom was 11th century. Prior to that, aliba de Gemara, according to the strict letter of the law, you can. So we're learning Gemara right now. So if you can divorce a woman against her will, so that means to say that you can also be mekadesher against her will. Now, you understand, by the way, I say that, by the way, and it should sound grating, right? Because it's wrong. You can't marry a woman against her will. But at least, here's what we're suggesting. At least it could be written up without her consent. It's really, it's funny. It's so hard to say because ultimately we all know, everyone here knows, that the kedushin is not going to work unless she consents.
But, I mean, but writing it effectuates the marriage, no?
No. The writing does not effectuate the marriage. In other words, you have to give it to her and she has to accept it. Then and only then is the marriage effectuated. Okay? So in other words, so the aim of time of didi, v'yatzavayisa, mekishavayilisiyah, mayisiyah be'inan das makna, afavaya be'inan das makna. And then the counter argument is that no. In other words, I'm going to stay with the hekesh, but what do I know from the hekesh? The makneh, right? So interesting, by the way, just to identify who's the kona, who's the makneh. By divorce, so the husband is the makneh. In other words, he is now releasing his wife. She is now allowing her to basically go free. So the husband's the makneh, and you need his consent. You need his knowledge. So too, when it comes to Kiddushin, who is the Makna by Kiddushin? She is the Makna by Kiddushin. We've already established that numerous times. So therefore, I need her Das. Okay, so you can really argue, using the Hekesh, you can make arguments in either direction. So the Gemara quotes the Brisa that makes it sound like you need Das Shnehem when you're writing it up. So lo Shtari Psikta. So the Gemara says, no, you misunderstood. He wasn't talking about Shtar Erisin. He was talking about Shtar Psikta, what you and I would call Tanayim. Uchel Rav Gidol Amarav, Damar Rav Gidol Amarav, Kamas Atanosin Levincha, Kach Vekach, Levitcha, Kach Vekach, Amdu Vekichu Kanu, Hein Hein Advar, Meniknem Ba'amira. Okay, in other words, and nowadays, right, I guess nowadays we'd be looking at the Chassan's Tish, but, and we do Tanayim at the Chassan's Tish, but it's really more ceremonial more than anything else. We're at the wedding. In other words, right? Better than good chance they're going to get married. Back in the good old days. So, in other words, this was actually negotiated between the families much earlier. In other words, and it was contracted, and it's what's called shtari psikta. Shtari psikta are all the finances that are going to be arranged in advance. And so, what's happening over here is negotiation. Her family, his family. How much are you contributing? How much are you contributing? The kid, right? He wants this. She wants all the financial arrangements. So that's what's called shtari psikta. And what we're learning over here, Rashi makes a big deal about this over here, is that because we are negotiating and because we're all sitting down together, there doesn't have to be a formal kinyan over here. Hein hein. The Gemara's words are hein hein hadvarma niknim ba'amira. In other words, just because the context is so strong, so therefore I don't need a formal kinyan to formalize this agreement. Okay, but anyway, but the point of the Gemara is that we're not talking about Shtar Erisin, we're talking about Shtar Psikta, and that's why I need Dashnehem. But it could be, or at least we're still opening the possibility, that when it comes to Shtar Erisin, I don't need her Das when I'm writing the Shtar Erisin. Okay, so two questions that we ask regarding Shtar Erisin. Number one, does it have to be Lishma? The Gemara's answer is yes, it does. Do you need her Das when you're writing it? Gemara left that question open-ended. Adkan, we'll stop over here.